Once again, and welcome. Before I open up in the Word this morning, I just want to share with you, I was telling Jill earlier when we first pulled up to the church, there was a bird sitting on the church step. And I said to Cam, "What is that?" He said, "It's a dove." I said, "How cool is that? We have a dove, symbolic of the Holy Spirit." And sometimes we miss some of the things God is trying to show us by just thinking, oh well, making light of little things. But I knew in my heart God was showing me the Spirit of God is here in this place. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, this morning I want to teach on a principle from God's Word that, you know, many times in our lives, in fact, most times is overlooked. And this overlooking of this little principle that I want to talk about this morning will cause or can cause much frustration where our faith is concerned. And how many of us know we don't want to have frustration in our faith because we are to live by faith? And this isn't something we just do once in a while, but it is every day the just shall live by faith. And we do not want to be frustrated in our faith. Amen? We all in this room today here have faith. We all want to have a big faith. All of us want to have a big faith. Why do we need or want a big faith? Amelia, why do you want big faith? Well, so that you and I can receive big things. Amen? We all want to have big things from God. But you know, you've heard me say before, and I'm going to say it again today, it's not the size of your faith that causes you to receive big things, but it's the size of your God. It's the size of the revelation that you have of Jesus. That's where the key is. Matthew chapter 17, verse 20 says, "Even if you have faith as a little grain of mustard seed." Now, we know in the natural that a grain of mustard seed is one of the smallest seeds. The Bible says, even if you have faith, even as a small, tiny seed, you will say to this mountain, "Remove hence to a yonder place," and it will remove, and nothing will be impossible to you. Now, if you were with us last week, we learned that everybody who is in Christ has faith. There is no one that God left out. In fact, it took faith to become in Christ. We all have faith. We have the faith like the small grain of mustard seed. And Jesus just said that's all you need to remove the mountain. So we know today faith is not the problem. Faith is not your problem, Emily. But last week we saw that unbelief is the problem. Faith is not the problem, unbelief is the problem. Now if we go back to Matthew chapter 17, where we just read, where Jesus said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, we will see that the context of why Jesus said this. His disciples were sent out by Jesus with the power to heal the sick, cast out demons, and even raise the dead. And there was one young boy who they were unable to cast the devil out of. And so the father of this young boy comes to Jesus and says, "Help me, please. I brought my son." And the Bible says that his son was a lunatic. "I brought my son to your disciples and they were unable to help me. They were unable to heal him." And Jesus, of course, being a little annoyed, says, "Oh, you faithless, perverse generation, how long am I going to suffer you? How long do I have to put up with this? Bring your son to me." And so the man brought his son to Jesus, And it says Jesus, you know, of course, cast the devil out, the Bible tells us. He rebuked the devil, and the devil departed from the child, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then in verse 19, the disciples came to Jesus and said, Lord, why could we not cast this devil out? And Jesus said in verse 20, he replies to them, and he did not say because you didn't have enough faith. What Jesus did say, he said, is because you have unbelief. Because of your unbelief. Now, I want to ask a question. Did the disciples have the faith? Did they have the power to cast this demon out? Yes, they did. Just like you have the power, you have the faith, but it's your unbelief that is the problem. Now, I don't want to repeat what I said last week, but we did see from the message that you can have faith and unbelief or doubt at the same time in your life. We also saw that the root of unbelief or doubt in our hearts is what? Condemnation. Condemnation comes from the law. The root of the unbelief in your life, the thing that is causing your faith not to be productive, has its roots in the law. The law brings condemnation, and condemnation kills. But on the flip side of that, at the root of real faith, childlike faith, is what? Grace. At the root of doubt is condemnation, which comes from the law. The root of real faith is grace, which comes from the gospel of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, or the gospel of the grace of God through Jesus Christ. So, the antidote for unbelief in our hearts is to see the grace of God through the face of Jesus Christ. It is the only antidote. You cannot reason your way out of unbelief. It doesn't work that way. It is only by the grace of God through the face of Jesus. So we need to see more of the revelation of God's grace in Christ. We need a revelation of Jesus, right? Now, many times you and I will miss it because we do not know God's ways. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. We do not recognize God's methods and God's ways of revealing Jesus to us. It's not that we don't want a revelation of Jesus. And sometimes we feel, Lord, I know that this is for me. I know that in your word it says this, but I need a revelation. And sometimes we almost like to blame God because we think, I never got the revelation. I know I don't have the revelation. That's not, I'm trying. I don't know where to get it from. You know, and it's almost like in every step of our faith, it's like it's his fault. And this morning I want to talk about seeing it God's ways. And you know, when it comes to unbelief, if your hearts are condemning you, it will make your faith of no effect. Now, I want to talk about seeing it God's way. And especially when it comes to revelation of Jesus, because that's what we need. Do you know, first of all, I'm going to say this. When we step out in faith and our hearts are condemning us, or if we have doubt in our hearts, I'm going to say something. It's not the big things that are condemning you. It's not the big things in your life, or it's not big things that are condemning you. It's the little things. You know, for example, we have 10 commandments. And you can tick them off mentally, because last week we learned that the word doubt in Mark chapter 11, verse 23, where it says, and doubt, if you doubt not in your heart, it means to go to war or to go to law against. That means to bring yourself under judgment, to tick off mentally, you, to assess yourself. That's what it means. Now, when we do that, and we go through the list of 10 commandments, there's one commandment that tells us, thou shalt not kill. Now, we can take that one off. Anybody here ever murdered anybody? It's not the big things. You know, you tick them all off. It's the little things. It's the little things. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. Now, it says that is the scripture. It is the little foxes that spoil the vine. Now, just think about it. It is the little things. The word foxes, anybody know what the word foxes actually means? It means to burrow. To burrow in, to dig down, to burrow, like a gopher. Isn't that what a gopher does? They burrow. So the word foxes means to burrow. So it is the little things that burrow deep down in your hearts that spoil the faith. The little things. It's the things you didn't do. It's the things you didn't say. It's not the big things that destroy your faith, but the little things. But the good news is, on the flip side, it is also, and this is what I want to talk about this morning, it is also the little or the small, seemingly insignificant things of God that brings grace into your life. It is the small things that bring grace, just like it is the small things in your heart that destroy your faith. You know, we can get so focused on looking for the big things, the big revelations, that we miss out on all the small ones. We can get so focused on that. We can get so focused on looking for the big manifestations of God that we miss all the small. In the Gospel of John, Jesus said this in John chapter 6, verse 40. I am the bread of life. Verse 50, this is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Verse 63, it says, it is the spirit that quickens. Quickens means bring life. The flesh will profit you nothing, and the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. In Luke chapter 11, as well as in Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. And in verse 2, Jesus said, when you pray, say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Verse 3, give us this day our daily bread. Or give us day by day our daily bread. Now, this is a picture of God feeding us, not with big things, but with little things. It is a picture of the manna that fell in the wilderness each morning to feed the children of Israel. Now, we know that the manna that fell from heaven was not the true manna. It wasn't the true bread of life, but it is symbolic, and it is a picture of the true bread. But it shows us very clearly how God feeds his children, how God provides our needs. It shows us God's ways. Now, I want us to go back there in reading it. I want to bring out a few things this morning to show this principle that is so important that we understand, in order that our faith will not be disappointed or discouraged or, as I said earlier, frustrated. So in chapter 16 of, is it Numbers? No, I forgot to write down which book I'm in. Chapter 16. Okay, Exodus. I'm sure it's Exodus. I'm guessing, but... Chapter 16 of Exodus, I want us to read 13. From 13, I want us to read all the way, or from 12, pardon me, from 12 all the way to 21. Now we know that after the children of Israel came into the land, or left Egypt, and were on their way to the promised land, they were wandering around in the wilderness. And of course, there wasn't a restaurant or a McDonald's that they could pop into and have a bite to eat. They couldn't pack enough food to take out into the wilderness. And so, of course, the children of Israel are wondering, what are we going to eat? Like, seriously, we're going to starve out here. We're going to die. You know, and so they began to murmur and complain to Moses. And in verse 12 it says, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak to them, saying, and this is the Lord speaking to Moses, to tell Moses what to tell the children of Israel. At even you will eat flesh, and in the morning you will be filled with bread, and you will know that I am the Lord your God. 13, and it will come to pass that at the even the quails, and it came to pass, pardon me, that at the evening the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning dew lay around about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, for they did not know what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is the thing. This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Gather every man according to his eating, one omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take every man for them which are in his tent. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more and some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing left over, or no lack, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his need or his eating. And Moses said, let no man leave it of it until the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms, and it stank. And Moses was very angry with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating, and when the sun waxed hot, it melted. Now, verse 13 says that in the morning, the dew lay round about the camp. Verse 14, and when the dew was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. Now, first of all, what does the dew symbolize in the Bible? Grace. Who comes in the form of the Holy Spirit? That's good. Proverbs 19:12 says this, the favor or the grace of the Lord is as the dew upon the grass. Whenever you see in the Bible dew or dew on the grass, you know that it is symbolic of God's grace. Now, we know that the dew is symbolic of the grace, but what is the manna symbolic of? Jesus, who is the bread of life. So we know that the bread of life is the word of his grace. Jesus is the word. He is the bread of life. It is the word of his grace that is the bread of life, or the grace of God revealed through Jesus. But I want us to see a principle here. First, the manna was a small round thing. A small. And they were only to gather enough for that day. Some gathered little and some gathered more. But in the end, no one lacked. But they were told to gather it daily, not to keep it for the next day. And of course, verse 20 tells us they did not hearken, and some left it until the morning, thinking they're going to get ahead of the game and have some gathered. They don't have to get out and work quite as hard. And what happened? It was full of worms, and it stunk. And there's no way they could eat it. So I want to talk about the principle here. God does not give you, Emily, today, what you have need of tomorrow. God only gives us what we need for today. His grace is for today, not tomorrow. He does not give it all at once. Just like, you know, you have a baby. You know that the baby is in your care. You're going to nurture that child, that it grows up healthy and strong. You are not going to give it all the food in one day. I mean, it sounds silly, but I think sometimes that's how we think the Word of God works. I want it all. I want the big revelation. No, no, no. But you slowly feed your baby, drop by drop. And you can't say, well, tomorrow I'm going to be too busy to feed the baby, so I'm going to double up on the bottles today. And that's sometimes how we approach the Word of God. We're trying to savor the revelation of today to help us tomorrow. That's not what the Bible teaches. That is not God's way. Every day, daily, God gives us what we need, our daily bread, our manna for the day. That's why the Bible says, take no thought for tomorrow. He doesn't give you today what you need tomorrow. Why? Because this continually keeps us coming back for more. And the most important thing, and I've said this before, is that you commune with God. That's what God wants. God wants you to continually be dependent on Him. He will never, ever take you to a place in your life where you do not need Him. Never. Because He desires your companionship. He desires to be with you every day, to commune with you. And this keeps us coming back. I mean, if God gave us all in one shot, what would be the thing that would draw us back to Him? But you see, we need God. We need grace every day. So God does not give us today what we need for tomorrow. He does not give us the revelation of His Son Jesus all at once. It is little by little as we need it. God wants you and I to continually, daily go to Him every day. And like I said, as it is in the natural, so it is in the spirit. When we feed our bodies natural food, we cannot eat today our food for tomorrow. Guess what? Tomorrow you're going to be hungry again. It doesn't work that way. You know why? Because your bodies can only absorb so much, and the rest is waste. So it is in the spirit. You can only absorb so much, and the rest is for naught. So what I want to say today is, don't fear or worry about the things that you do not understand, but feed on what you do understand. That's the key. Feed on what you do understand. It is when we rest in the light of what we have that we will see more light. Revelation is not a work of the flesh. It is by the Spirit. And when we rest in the light that we do have, all of a sudden you see it as brighter. It gets brighter and brighter. The Lord had to teach me this a long time ago. Don't try to teach on something that you really do not understand. But always teach the things that you do understand. Focus on the things you do understand. Rest in that. And in that, you will be able to see more and more light. If God were to give it all to us all at once, there would be no reason for us to seek Him out daily or to commune with Him every day. But you know what? Human nature in general wants everything big. Big is good. The bigger, the better. Small is always insignificant. But you know what? We need to learn that's not God's nature. That's human nature. We sometimes get the idea that if we do not have huge amounts of money, we're not successful. We get the idea that if we don't belong to a big church, we're insignificant. God can't use us. And everything has to be big, big, big in our lives, or it's insignificant. And somehow, your faith and my faith is tied to this concept of big. And we need to change that concept. You know, we in the natural, we sometimes think, if I had lots of money, I'd be a big giver. It's not the size. If I had a big revelation of Jesus, then I'd pray for the sick. Then I'd walk into funeral homes and command dead people to rise. You see, everything is based on big, big, big. But you know, don't look for God in the big. God was not in the rain. God was not in the wind. Or the fire. Where was God? In the wee, small, still voice. Remember when the prophet was looking for God? Jesus came into the world as a wee, 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 small baby. It wasn't a big thing. And the only ones who knew he was here was a few shepherds. It wasn't a big thing. God doesn't work through the big things. Look every day for the little things. That's why that bird meant so much to me this morning. It was a little bird. It was a dove. Could have missed it. But it spoke to me. I said, Lord, you're showing me in the little things. Things that will help me understand your grace. Things that will help me see the grace through Jesus Christ. Look for God in the small, everyday things. You don't need $1 million today. You might only need 20. Be thankful in the little things. You don't need, when you pull into a parking lot, you don't need the whole parking lot to be empty. You just need one little spot. Be thankful for that one little spot, because that's God. That's his blessing. That's his grace. Sometimes we think that if God isn't giving it all the big, he's not working. And we miss all the little things along the way that he's bringing. All the little things that bless us. So let's not be like the Israelites, who after a while began to despise the manna. Numbers chapter 11, verse 5 and 6. They complained to Moses, saying, we remember the flesh we ate in Egypt, or the fish, I guess it's fish, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. And the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof as bedlam. Verse 8, and the people went about and gathered it, and they ground it in mills. They beat it in a mortar. They baked it in a pan and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. Now notice the change in the manna. When the manna first came down, it was white. Now it's pearl. The Bible tells us that the manna was as sweet as honey to the taste. Now it is tasteless. Anybody ever tasted oil? Has absolutely no taste. Has God's word in our lives lost its sweetness? Are we so busy looking for the big things that we take his word for granted and we don't see the sweetness in even the small things? Are you weary of trying to get the Word of God to work? Trying to get God's Word to satisfy your needs? And saying, well, that's not enough. I need more. I need more. I need more. But God has already placed within you what you need for today. Rejoice in that. Rest in that. Don't be anxious for what you don't know or don't understand. Be thankful and grateful for the revelation and the manna that you have for today. It's all you need for today. Whether you have a big revelation or a small revelation, it's all you need, Emily. One word can change your life. One word, understood, can change a life. Just like in the Bible when they went out to pick up the manna, some picked up more, some picked up less. But in the end, everybody had enough. Everybody had enough for that day. In our lives, when we approach the Lord and we commune with him, don't worry about reading 10 chapters in the morning and thinking you're going to get more out of it. No, the guy who reads one verse is just as blessed as the guy who just read 10 chapters. Now, if you need to read, I'm not saying it's wrong to read the Bible. But what I'm saying is don't feel like you have to, you know, you have to have 10 chapters under your belt before God is going to speak to you. God speaks through his word, through one small word. And one small word understood is greater than 10 chapters which you didn't get a thing out of. And so every day, daily, God wants you to commune with him. Daily, he wants you to go to his word. Talk to the Lord about the things you do understand. Thank him for it. And as we do that, and just fellowship around the word, all of a sudden, in that light, in that rest, you begin to see more. All of a sudden, the Lord will show you something else. And he'll show you something else. And that's how he continually waters you every day. Continually gives you the revelation that you need for your day. So whether you have a big revelation or small revelation, it's all you need. Do you remember the feeding of the 5,000 in the Bible? And the disciples came to Jesus and said, you know, we ought to send these people away. They've been with us all day, and they're getting hungry. There is nothing here to eat. We ought to send them into the towns that they may buy food. And what did Jesus say to them? You give them something to eat. Why send them away? Now, in the natural, well, let's just think about this for a minute. You and I, if we're called to do something or feed 5,000 people, before you do that, you're going to make darn sure you've got the means to do it. It's going to be a lot of pierogi suppers. Lots of fundraising. And the disciples are saying, well, we don't understand. And see, so many times in our lives, Jesus says those things to us. You do it. And you say, well, no, Lord, I don't have the means to do it, whether it's physically or financially. So many times we wait. Every day, whatever your need is today, God's already supplied the means by which you will have the victory. If he tells you to do something, he's given you the supply to do it. You may think you don't have it. You know, otherwise, where is faith? We keep putting things off until we have the means. And God's saying, no, you have the means already. You've got it. Step out by faith. I will supply as you walk. Because we'll miss God if we wait. Every day, you've got what it takes for you to do the will of God, for you to have victory. And so Jesus says, no, you feed them. And it's like, Lord, we don't have enough money. That wasn't an issue to God. So in the natural, before we would feed 5,000 people, we would first of all obtain enough food first before we begin to feed them. Come on, is that not the truth? There's a principle here. We want our money in hand first. We want to see in the natural that we have the means. But Jesus says, what do you have? And they said, well, one small boy's lunch. Two fishes, five loaves. And Jesus took this small lunch. He blessed it. He didn't look out. You notice he looked up to heaven. He didn't look out at the need. He looked to the source of supply. He wasn't looking at the 5,000 starving people. He was looking to his Father. And he blessed this small lunch. He blessed what they did have. And by faith, the disciples handed them out. And with this small lunch, Jesus fed over 5,000 people. With your small revelation, he will do great things in your life. Don't despise the small revelation. Give it to God and let him use it. You know, we keep thinking, well, we're not there yet. We're not there yet. You are there. If you have one little revelation, one little lunch, God can change your life with it. So the revelation that you have today is all you need for today. God took one small lunch and fed 5,000 people. And God takes the word of God that you do have in your heart, the revelation of it, even if it is small. I don't care how big the revelation is, even if it's small, and he can accomplish with that one little revelation all that you need today in your life. God uses the small things. Don't despise them. He uses these small things to bring victory into your life. God used one small stone in the hands of one small boy to bring victory to a whole nation. Now, you know, King David could have had the attitude like us, well, Lord, I'm just not ready for this yet. But no, he took what he knew. He knew a slingshot, and he knew how to sling a stone. And God used that. You see, God will use whatever you have. You need to get a revelation of that. God's already given you all that you need in what you have in your heart. You need to trust him with it. Just give it to him and rest in that. In closing, I want us to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 1 and 2. And I want us to see this is God's ways. This is a principle from the Word of God that is spoken about even in the book of Deuteronomy. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. Hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Verse 2, my doctrine will drop as the rain. My speech will distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Now this is directly in proportion or in relationship to Isaiah 55 verses 9 and 10, for it says, for as the heavens are high above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. Verse 10, for as the rain comes down in the snow from heaven and returns not again, but it waters the earth that it might bring forth bud to give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It's not the amount. It's what is important, and what the Lord is showing me is its consistency. It is consistency. Every day we need bread. Consistency is the real key to walking in victory. It doesn't have to be a big amount. God doesn't expect us to sit and study the word all day. In fact, in the book of Ecclesiastes, it says that much study makes weary. And I can attest to that. And sometimes I need to just take my mind away from all of this and just rest in what I do know. And it's so refreshing. It's like, oh, I don't have to try to figure this all out and reason this all out. I cannot conjure up revelation. It has to come by the Spirit. It's not by the flesh. And we need to rest. Don't make studying the word, don't make spending time in the word a labor. But receive the sweetness of God's word. Every day we need. Now, you might have a devotional that you read. You might have a favorite program or a minister on TV that you listen to. every day. Whatever, wherever you get your daily bread, or just take your own Bible and go to the scriptures that minister to you. But do it. Be consistent every day in eating from the Word of God. Because it is like the rain. You're watering. You know, it's hard for us because God gives everything in seed form. And it's hard for us when we see a little seed to imagine that is actually a tree that I'm holding in my hand. But God has given you those seeds. And it's by, first of all, planting them. But don't ignore them and neglect. Water them every day. And you know, it's like the man who planted the seed. The Bible says in the book of Matthew, this is as the kingdom of heaven, a man that plants seed, and he rises and he sleeps and he rises and he sleeps, and all of a sudden the thing sprouts and he knows not how. Well, that's how it works with the Word. Plant those seeds and see your harvest. Keep continually watering. Don't try to eat for a whole month in one sitting. Just every day, a continual watering of the seeds that you have. Eat for the day and take no thought for tomorrow. And don't let what you don't know keep you from trusting God for every need, for every day. Because we know that God has already supplied our needs through Christ. And when we just trust Him with what we do know, because it's amazing, you know, one word from God, the Bible says, can change your life. And that one word has within it the power to bring you wealth, to bring you health, to bring you peace. One word, just one revelation from God. So don't despise the small things, but continually stay in them, and these small things will begin to increase and multiply in our lives. And don't say that I can't pray for someone else because it's not real in my life. Just continue to realize that God has placed everything within you that you need. And in you stepping out in faith and making it happen for someone else, God will make sure it happens for you. Find the little things in your day. Do the little things that are important. You know, sometimes we think, well, what can I do to help you? And sometimes it's not the big things that are important, but the little things. You know, even just like I said to Cameron, a smile sometimes. Hello, you look good today. It's the little things that blesses others. And it's the little things that God sends our way that blesses us. Amen? And so let's not forget this principle. And let's rest today, even in the little things. Because God cannot show you the big things until you have seen the little things. Amen? Let's close in prayer. Father,